Hello. Welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Thank you for making us a priority here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you for tuning in to ArtSpeak this afternoon, this lovely Kansas City afternoon. We've got a full house. We always have a full house because there's so much good stuff happening in the community. Arts, organizations, social activism, all of that. So thank you for tuning in. Today's guest is we've got a full roster of folks. We have Z Hall, Gary Abbott, Paul Rudy, Rob Love. We have Jonas Hayes, Max Mendoza, and Dean Renfro. And if that's not enough, we've got Adam Goldberg and Dina Bella Majania. And then we've got Sylvia Kofler. Teeny tiny Sylvia Kofler with a big voice. She's here in the studio. She's a writer, poet. She's going to be talking about the St. Valentine's Massacre Poetry Open Mic that's taking place this weekend. So let's get started. I want to introduce Z Hall, who is the executive director of Salon 360, and Gary Abbott, the assistant professor of modern dance at UMKC, Dr. Paul Rudy, professor of composition at UMKC, and on the phone, I think, we have Rob Love. Yeah, I hope to have Rob Love, who is a Kansas City spoken word artist by Mark, who's going to join us in the studio. Now, Salon 360 is a monthly event that brings together artists, business people, scholars, activists, and community members in dialogue around issues faced by our society. So welcome, Z, Gary, Paul, and Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, I will have to get Rob back on the phone. I'm somehow. Anyway, Z, please talk to us about Salon 360. A little bit of history and background, if you would, please.
Well, Salon 360, as you mentioned, is a place for community growth. We come together in the safe space to work out ideas in a public sort of atmosphere, and so you'll find artists, activists, community leaders, business people, all gathered to talk about and engage in specific themes, which we choose monthly. And, for example, this month we will be talking about economic liberation. And so we come together and we usually enjoy some form of art or presentation. And then there's open dialogue on the subject. And so it can go a lot of different directions and always interesting and always fulfilling.
Beautiful. So who takes part of your salon? I mean, who shows up and how do they, what do they bring?
This is good. Yeah, the audience for Salon 360 has changed almost monthly. One of the reasons that happens is because we have our events at different places each month. So what will happen is that people from, you know, different communities in the Kansas City region will come to that event, either because it's close to them or it just happens to be on a night that's convenient for them. There could be a number of reasons why that happens. The audience, and well, we like to think of them as participants because that's what it is. It varies from teenagers in high school to people in their 70s or 80s, and it varies across gender and racial groups and religious groups. So it's always very interesting, always encouraging. I get so much from it that I keep doing it every month,
Beautiful.
No matter how much work
Beautiful.
It is.
Now, and then the events are held at various restaurants or venues supporting locally. So you support locally owned businesses in that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We're very much involved in that part because the business community is very much a part of the conversation, too, in terms of the issues that we face in society.
Very good. And I want to ask Gary and
yes.
Paul. Hello. Welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. Give us your take on Salon 360. What do you bring and what have you gained?
Well, I think I met Z in the wild land of Facebook because I loved her posts and the wisdoms and the love and the intelligence that came through all of her postings. What I have been lucky enough to do is showcase some of my choreography and some of my very talented kids in during some of those salons, performing a work of mine that I actually have done with Dr. Rudy here that's called Breaking the Dam. So I was there with performing on my mind, and little did I know I would leave full of beautiful discussions and wonderful artists, meeting wonderful artists, talented people.
That's terrific. That's great. That's huge.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and I sort of tagged along with Gary the very first time in September when he was invited to, was the theme anger, I think?
Yeah.
He was talking very calmly about anger and presenting a work that we had made together the year before called Breaking the Dam.
Beautiful work.
Where we collaborated on this issue of...
Is that why you came in here?
Primarily around Ferguson, yeah, right?
Mostly.
Gary came to me and after that event and... was really, I didn't get so much anger from you, but frustration and hurt. I could see the hurt in Gary's eyes, and that's why we did that piece together. And then we presented that piece at a Salon 360.
Yes, we did. A truncated version of it.
Truncated version of it on film, yeah. Actually, right?
Well, part of it was on film, and then it's now on film.
Yes. Well, in August, it was on film, and everybody there said, that's could you, yeah. too, please yeah. restage this work yeah. so that we could go see it live.
Exactly.
And then it was at that salon that you all met Rob Love.
Exactly.
Who ended up being doing a spoken word yeah. piece that you guys incorporated into the already beautiful piece of Breaking the Dam,
yeah.
which was performed at our benefit show in yeah. December. And it was that is on yeah. our website.
Yeah. Brother Love
beautiful.
Brought an amazing spirit into the studio, and he contributed like the most gorgeous words that we were all sort of thinking, and somehow he brought it through his mind and through his soul and brought it into the studio.
And we do have Rob Love on the phone. Rob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Terrific. Yeah. Yay. Took me a little bit.
Yay,
but,
Rob.
We got you. So they're speaking highly of you, so that's always a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's beautiful. and it's quite an honor to have such a collection of beautiful people with such a powerful intention behind the work that they do, just giving me love like that, so it's much appreciated.
Yeah. So, you know, I know you mentioned some of the themes that you touched on. This first year closed with a silent auction, raffle, and benefit show that was based on its five themes, forgiveness, anger, suicide, human capacity, and grief. So how do you come up with the themes, or is it something that's completely organic?
Completely organic.
Yeah.
I actually am involved in a little, you know, discussion with the universe and mm-hmm. try to get vibes mm-hmm. from what people are feeling and thinking, what they're talking about. We also ask at the end of each salon what participants would like to talk about at future events. And so it's very collaborative, very mm-hmm. organic, and it's been really an enjoyable experience just trying to figure out you know, what is important at the time.
So for this year now, what do you have on your agenda for this year? What topics will you cover? And do you know where you'll be as the events unfold?
Mm-hmm. Last month, we were at the Interurban Art House in Old Downtown Overland Park, and we entertained the theme of art activism, which was extremely powerful in many, many ways. We had wonderful performances. Nedra Bonds displayed and talked about her amazing fabric and quilts. And who else was there? I'm losing thoughts right now. International jazz artist Lisa Henry actually did a piece from her Dear White People that premiered in 2015, and she did that piece called 1-900 Equality, which was very moving. It engages the audience and the participants at the event, and she followed that with wonderful discussion about why she's doing art activism as an international jazz performer. And Keith Bohannon did some wonderful poetry for us, and we had an international participant as well, and we saw a piece that he performed in Lagos, Nigeria, and that was very moving, and he couldn't be with us that night, but I taped an interview with him later and posted that on our website.
Now, Would you share your website with us for listeners that want more information?
Sure. It is decadeoflight.org. And to get to Salon 360, go to Programs, and then the drop-down menu will take you to Salon 360. And you can see an entire list of all of our past events and what's coming up here in February.
So now, how will the rest of you participate? Will you be supporting? Will you be presenting?
Well, yeah, I guess we're not sure yet. Actually, Z and I are meeting for lunch after this to talk about that. But we do have, Gary and I are going to be doing a new version of the dance piece that's kind of a work in progress.
An expanded version of it. You know, there are more ideas, I think, that happen. Then the ideas, as you create, become more clarified, stronger, or whatever. So we're looking forward to working that. He's a madman when it comes to
Is that in April? Is it already scheduled?
April 21st to 23rd, and we'll be at the Folly Theater downtown. My dancers are the UMKC dancers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, University of Missouri, Kansas City dancers. And we'll have our faculty concert there at the Folly Theater, April 21st through 23rd.
And that's such a lovely venue. I love the intimacy of the Folly.
Yeah, I was there this weekend. Yeah. It's so cool.
I've done lighting for them at any various time, but I just love it, and it's just so intimate. Mm-hmm. It's a great place
it
for
really
that.
Is.
Now, Rob, will you have a part in this too for the upcoming season?
Yes. I'm looking to be a part of the performance at the Folly in April.
Yay, Rob!
and many Salon 360 participants, we're already figuring out how we're going to buy block seats so that we can all sit together and enjoy that show, you know, as a group.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Rowdy audience.
I like that. Now, you're also on Facebook, but did I read something recently that they're sort of like kind of the gatekeepers there are sort of maybe a little bit more confined to the group? Are they booting you off? Is that what I heard?
Well, no.
I'm just making stuff up now.
No. Everything's going to work out. Okay. Yeah, so we can be found on Facebook at, I believe it's groups/ according to their system, groups/ Salon, no tilde, but just Salon 360 is where you can find us on Facebook.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have any work that you want to share with us that's G-rated? I always have to say G-rated because I never know what people are going to bring. Do you want to share something with us?
Sure. Thankfully, the majority of what I write is pretty G-rated.
Very good.
I try to make it universal. I want everybody to be able to benefit from it in some way. So, if you don't mind, I can maybe share a bit of the piece that I performed with these wonderful folks
Absolutely.
In December.
Awesome.
Would that work for you?
Yeah. Go ahead. We're waiting.
Okay. And just a powerful expression. I felt so grateful to be able to provide some words for the expression that Gary and Paul had already put together. But this is a This is the piece called Breaking the Dam. It's gotten cold again. That familiar, frigid feeling when lifelessness grows thick in the air. Spare us the talk of seasons. This seems year-round. The sound of rapid heartbeats slowing meets with silence shattered by sirens to make the soundtrack of our anguish. The last waves of heat waft upward. The light, salvation appearing unreachable, we raise our hands. Maybe we can catch just a bit of it in our palms. Maybe we just have questions that need answering, and our conditioning tells us that our hands must go up first. Maybe. Maybe with lies no longer able to support our world, we are trying to catch falling sky. In a moment of survival-inspired instinct, hoping we can bear the weight. Wait. My hands are up. Don't shoot. Why are you shooting? I'm just taking the shape of shooting star aimed downward, earthbound, trying to infuse something human into this unrecognizable mess we call Yes. I called the police, but I didn't think they would kill him. Yes. I discharged my weapon because I feared no longer being feared. Why did he run? Was he running? It looked like he was doing an unusual dance to a strange beat. Like he was using his feet to clear a path to something different, but any possibility of change must be dispatched without regard, and when a hardened soul starts to pull triggers, they lose count of how many shots were fired, how many bullets needed to penetrate flesh like seed and ground. Inanimate forms urge to animation. The rhythm of truth is constant. Masses frozen in fear. It's cold out here. Move. Love is an action, a step, a leap, a shift in motion, rise. Like the elevated notion of creation, our bodies are celebration personified. Our raised hands are not a submission. It is a sign of divine ambition, indestructible will to keep reaching for something appearing too beautiful to be real. Warmth is descending again. And when it does, let it rush in like water freed from a broken dam. Breathe. Feel. Live. That's it.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yay,
really do appreciate that. Now, we only have just a minute or so, so I want to make sure that everyone will go around and just give us your final words, and we'll start with Z.
We have our February event coming up on February 23rd. That's a Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. We'll be entertaining the idea of economic liberation at the Black Archives of Mid-America. That's at 1722 East 17th Terrace in Kansas City, Missouri, in the 18th and Vine District. This event, because Salon 360 is a program of a nonprofit, it's free, but reservations are required. So information, info at decadeoflight.org.
Very good. And Gary Abbott.
Our Faculty Spring Showcase, UMKC Faculty Spring Showcase, the Folly Theater, April 21st through 23rd. Not only will you see my work, but you'll see some more brilliant, brilliant, brilliant works by some of my colleagues. So we're excited about that.
Very exciting. Thank you. And Dr. Paul Rudy.
Yeah, you can check out some of my music at SoundCloud/RudyP. And I think in the spotlight there, I've actually got a taste of Rising Up, which is some of the new music that I've just written for this new version, and also the first version called Breaking the Dam is up there as well if you want to listen to it.
Absolutely. You'll have to come back in and perform live for us. And then last but not least, Rob Love.
Yes, just to follow a little bit more of what I'm doing with poetry, also storytelling, and some youth mentoring through creative workshops, you can visit roblovepoetry.com. There's links to my YouTube channel, all of my social media sites, and looking forward to working with these beautiful people yet again.
Beautiful. I thank you so much. We're out of time. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio, Jonas Hayes, Max Mendoza, and Dean Renfro. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be right back. And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I forgot to mention, I wanted to thank all the supporters who called in last week during our 2016 Winter Pledge Drive. We really, really appreciate it. We've got to keep this radio station going. It's a thriving asset to the community. It's, supporting the arts and public affairs and local musicians. So I want to thank everybody for their calls last week and support. I'm going to turn next to Jonas Hayes, Max Mendoza, and Dean Renfro, who are here from Heartland 180. Heartland 180 is is organized specifically for the purpose of delivering services focused on educational support, life skills, and character building programs for youth and young adults. Now, this corporation is organized to seek funding and offer operation of in-school and after-school programs for youth in character building, core values, parenting classes, life skills classes, the 21st century workforce skills, and work apprenticeships for young adults and community service opportunities. So I'm going to introduce Jonas Hayes, Max Mendoza, and then on the phone we have Dean Renfro. Welcome, fellas.
Great to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Here.
Yeah, you're here. You know, I want to give a little backstory to this. I first met Max Mendoza at a memorial service for one of our beloved friends and poets educator, Sandra Moran, and I saw you standing alone, and I was looking for a place to put my cup. Yeah. And there's Max, and we had this conversation. And little did I know that Jonas at the time was the minister in who was giving the services for Sandra. So it was just sort of one of those fortuitous things that I'm really happy that happened. So Heartland 180, how long have they been around?
Heartland 180 started about 2 years ago. And our pilot program started 1 year ago. Uh-huh. We started just serving 25 youth in the USD 500, Kansas City, Kansas Public School District. And this year we're expanding the program, and we're looking forward to in-school and after-school program. Mm-hmm. In the coming year.
Mm-hmm. So is this open only to residents of Kansas?
Currently, we're only serving students in USD 500, which is in Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools.
And is that, I'm also thinking of like Turner and that. Would that include, you know, those districts, or is it just slightly?
No, Turner's its own school district, okay. And we haven't gotten that far out yet.
Max, can I just put you on the spot a little bit and give us a little of your backstory and sort of what this program means to you and the importance of it?
Okay. Well, this program for me really hits home personally. This is a passion of mine, working with youth, and especially youth that may have a difficult life. I was a youth offender. I went through the court system, was incarcerated at the age of around 16, 17 years old, and spent about 5 years going through the court system. And while I was in there, I had several different moments I would call life-changing moments. Mm-hmm. The death of a relative, and then caused me to want to changed the way I was living my life, and I started getting involved in a mentoring program, and then started working with the other young men that I was incarcerated with. And for me, it all started one time when I was giving my life story to a group of young men. And there was a young man who afterwards came up to me and was like, "Man, you told my entire life story. I just heard my life come out of your mouth. And I hear, you know, I see what you're doing, and it makes me think I can do it too." And so at that moment, that was the spark for me. And that was when I was like, well, that's what I want to do. I want to get out there and inspire other young men and women that just because you make mistakes doesn't mean you are a mistake.
Yeah.
And that you have the ability to achieve anything you want to do in life, because the only person that's going to stop you is yourself.
That's beautiful. And, you know, it's such a powerful message. And I'm glad that I met you that day, because then I also met Jonas. And when we talked on the phone, Jonas, I wasn't... of course, on the phone, I wasn't visual, so I didn't realize it was you that had given the service to Sandra. So in your role with Heartland 180, what do you like to do? What do you like to see happen for the youth?
Gosh, you know, we realize that change typically happens over a period of time, that it's typically not in broad sweeps. You know, one of the the tagline of the 180 Degrees program is that change happens one degree at a time, enhancing lives one degree at a time. So what we'd like to see, in addition to growth in terms of leadership, social-emotional learning, organizational skills, motivation, we're a data-driven program, so we record the grade point averages, test scores, class attendance, and referrals and delinquent behavior on each child before they enter the program. And that gives us a baseline statistic, and then we can measure the results and how the students are performing. So from our pilot project, for instance, we saw like an 11.5% increase in students' GPAs. Wow. Class attendance went up 25%, and we saw a reduction in disciplinary incidents by 54%. So our board members and our partners were very encouraged by the work that we had done through the pilot project. Mm-hmm. And so now we're entering into our second year.
Only your second year. That's terrific. And then I've got Dean Renfro on the phone. And what is your role with Heartland 180, Dean?
Well, I'm the owner and president of the National 180 Degrees Program. Wow. We've developed all of the curriculum, all of the program elements and components. And it's through a relationship that I had with Jonas when he was in Mississippi, where he started a program there called Delta 180. And so we offer assistance to the local areas that want to implement the program, the 180 Degrees program. So I'm out of Salem, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We've done all our development, and our program is 8 years old, 8 years old this month, February. And
congratulations.
We're going strong, and we have operations in several in California, in Louisiana. Hopefully soon we'll be doing something in Arkansas, and we're going to do a program in Savannah, Georgia. So we've trained probably 25,000.
Oh my goodness.
Past 8 years, and we've seen remarkable results, and it's just a pleasure. And I'm honored to be working with Jonas and Max in Kansas City. We've been out there several times, and a couple times doing training for facilitators. So that's my role. I offer assistance and help them any way I can, and provide the materials and the program elements.
Beautiful. It sounds like you have a pretty strong success rate, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely,
we do.
Especially with this Max sitting here in front of me. You know, that is such a powerful story that you shared with our listeners and with me. And is that pretty much the norm of some of the kids? Or
no, our kids actually come from different paths. I mean, they could be kids who may have, you know, had some troubles maybe with the courts, or they could be some kids who just need that extra help in school.
Yeah.
You know, so we have kids, really, these are for any kids that just need that extra help to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we do, really, with that social emotional learning and those relationships we build, it's about building confidence in the kids, giving them support, and helping them to become successful, to, you know, fulfill their full potential.
Yeah, that's terrific. Jonas, would you share with us the website for listeners?
The website of the national program is www.180degrees.com, and that's the national program site that will highlight the curriculum and what we teach. Right now, we're such a new organization that we actually don't have our website up and running, but we should in the next few months.
But through the national website, does it splinter off to give contact information for the Kansas?
No, but we do have contact information. So if anybody's interested in learning more about the program, they're welcome to contact us at heartland180@gmail.com. Or for the program phone number, our number is 913-293-8371.
Let's talk about some more of the successes. Jonas or Dean or Max, could you share a story of success with one of your clients?
We had a young man. He was a high school student, senior, and he went through our pilot program. And you know, there was question. He kind of went back and forth, but ultimately he was able to graduate from high school. He got his high school diploma. He went on to go to secondary education, to a technical school, and after his completion of the program, I got him his first job, and he is still working there today. Wow. And he's been doing really great, and he has really been a true success story. And what's even great is he wants to come back to the current class and talk to him about how this class influenced him, and you know how much of an opportunity this is. We also have another young lady who is currently volunteering with the program now. She's gone through the middle school curriculum, she went through the high school curriculum, and now she's back for a third time as a volunteer, helping students with their homework and helping around in the program.
You know, that's a very powerful message. You know, I've been in your shoes, and then to go back and help others, and you know what it's like, wouldn't you say, Jonas?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was a great example, Max. And I wonder if Dean, if you would want to highlight kind of a success story that you've experienced on the national scale, Dean.
Well, in many schools that we've been at, kids have gone on to college that have been in the 180 classes. And what's really unique about 180 is that we have about 9 different curriculum handbooks, starting from the third grade all the way up to the college level. So students can remain in the 180 program throughout their school years and have a different text, have a different curriculum each time they participate. And it helps to build character of these young people. I'll tell you, the stories are just numerous around the country where students have exceeded anyone's expectations through their educational pursuits or the things that they've done for other people. One of the things that we encourage at all of our sites is community service projects, where once the children receive the core elements of the program, the life skills development and so forth, and become aware of who they are and what their pursuits are, then they're in a position to give back. And through community service projects that we have, each class participates in them. There has been some unbelievable contact that they've made with the community, and gracious things that they have done for citizens of their community. So that's what we want to do. It's really a community thing where they become aware of themselves, and they become aware of the greater need and responsibilities that come along with what their role is in their community and how it is that they can help shape and improve their surroundings. And so, and the success stories are just numerous. I get letters from students all the time, from parents, from educators and so forth, about some of the unbelievable things that are happening. So we're very proud, and we've been in community organizations, in school districts, in private schools, charter schools, public schools, just about any type of setting. And the results are the same because we measure the performance, academic performance of these young people, help monitor their development. And it motivates them to do better. But at some point in their studies with the 180 program, they decide, many of them decide, well, okay, it's time now to give back. And that's when things really start happening.
That's beautiful.
Self-motivated. They're doing things because it's the right thing to do, and they're helping their fellow citizens. So we're very proud of it. There are just numerous examples.
That's beautiful. It's wonderful that, you know, that it's created this atmosphere of wanting to give back, and it's so important.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment on that. With our students, we did the community service project, and we had the students come up with the community service project, and it gave them a sense of responsibility and ownership to it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, they loved it. It was a really cool experience to see these kids come together as a team. Mm-hmm. And our students had to actually, it was funny because our second group wanted to do the same thing as the first group, but they wanted to make these care packages for the homeless people in our community. So they made these hygiene packets that had like soap and washcloths.
It's a great idea.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it was cool to see them work together and make this assembly line and put these packets together, and then for them to go and present it to a local, you know, community center to help these unfortunate people out. But it was really cool to see them take responsibility and ownership of that project, and they loved it, and it was really good to see them come together.
Beautiful. We only have a few minutes, so I wanted to give everyone a last word. So,
well, I just wanted to say, you know, a word of thanks to all of our supporters. You know, we partner with the Wyandotte County Juvenile Court System and also the Kansas City, Kansas Public School District. We've also, in addition to receiving some state funds for the program, we've received grant support from the Presbyterian Women's Birthday mm-hmm. Offering Grant Committee, which will help fund the coming year, in addition to the Kansas Health mm-hmm. Foundation and the Barton and Mary Cohen Foundation. So a word of thanks to those partners and donors.
Excellent.
And I also, really big thanks to the volunteer support we get. We would not be mm-hmm. able to do this program without the volunteers. And we have an amazing group of volunteers that come together and work with these kids. And they're the real... They're the backbone mm. to my program. I would not be able to do it without them.
Very good. And Dean?
Well, I just want to thank everyone there in the Heartland 180. They certainly represent the values and the mission of the 180 corporate entity, and they're doing some great work. They're reaching some children that might otherwise not ever have the opportunity to be successful, and that's what the whole program's about. And so good work, Heartland 180.
Beautiful. Well, thank you again, Jonas Hayes, Max Mendoza, and Dean Renfro. Thank you for educating us about Heartland 180 and doing some great stuff in the community.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You know, we just have all kinds of wonderful guests here, and I want to mention that in the studio right now is writer, poet Sylvia Koeffler. She's going to talk about the St. Valentine's Poetry Mic, open mic that happens this year. And, you know, Sylvia has been a terrific contributor to ArtSpeak Radio, and most recently was creator of, she helped with the Radio Ranga that took place earlier this year. Thank you, Sylvia, for coming in, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the St. Valentine's Massacre Poetry Open Mic.
It's a Riverfront Readings, and it is this Friday, February the 12th at 8 p.m. It will take place at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania in Kansas City, Missouri. The theme of the poetry is the poetry of Phil Miller, Love, Hate, Relationships. Phil Miller was the founder of Riverfront mm-hmm. Readings in 84, mm-hmm. and he passed away in 2011, and in 2007, after he moved, a committee took over, like Phyllis Becker, Pat Lawson, and Carl Bettis, and Rhiannon Ross, and myself.
Yeah, you guys are very committed to keeping his vision together, and very, you also have the different readings in at different sites. One is the Neon Gallery, right, on Truman Road. Don't you have...
That's part of the Writer's Place. Riverfront, we actually sometimes Oops. Have some readings at the Uptown Arts Bar for emergent voices. And our next one, for example, will be March 19th with Beth Gruber-Gawley and Jacob Johansson.
Beautiful. And I want to say that in honor of the late Philip
Miller. $500 is awarded to an English or creative writing student in the humanities department at the Kansas City Community College. So that's always terrific. Also, this event includes a silent auction of original artwork. And who are some of the artists that are going to take place?
The artists that are going to take place, the artwork will be some of Philip Miller, Concy Denniston, Janice Atkins, and myself,
yay,
Sylvia
Kofler. And plus there's going to be book baskets from local writers, right?
Yes.
Terrific. Now, if folks want to read at this open mic, should they sign up or contact someone to reserve a spot?
Yes, they can sign up ahead of time and email rross@riverfrontreadings.com. That's rross@riverfrontreadings.com.
And Sylvia, besides being a part of this and the Riverfront Reading group, you're just a heck of a writer. I mean,
you
write and you publish, and you also do some translating too, right?
Yes, and actually, if you'd like me to, I have Thorny Locust.
The
anniversary issue, and I published the best of the first 20 years.
Wow.
And I have some poems by Philip Miller, and I have a poem of Philip Miller. There were the five days of the week, and I have one that's called Thursday that I translated into German. So if you'd like me to, I can share.
Absolutely. Please do.
Thursday. Thunder rumbles in the distance. Heat lightning like blitzkrieg signals the weekend of fun about to come as I watch the afternoon dim. Hope to get off early, have a little drink, wait out one more night before the games finally begin. The crack of bats, the thud of balls, the object to defy gravity, the object to make us gods again. I dream after one last drink, thunder rumbling still in my mind's ears like distant hammers. And here's the German version. Donnerstag, Donnergrollt in der Distanz, Hitzeblitz wie Blitzkrieg, signalisiert das Wochenende auf überkommenden Ulk, als ich den Nachmittag verdunkeln sehe und hoffe, dass ich früh frei werde, einen Schluck habe, noch eine Nacht ausharre, bevor die Spiele endlich beginnen. Das Krachen der Schläger, der Bums der Bälle, das Objekt der Schwere trotzend, das Objekt, das uns Götter macht. Ich träume wieder nach einem letzten Drink. Donner rollt noch in meine Sinnesohren wie entfernte Hämmer.
Beautiful. You know, I have to ask you when the poetry is translated from one language to another, is there some sort of loss in translation in that?
Yes, there is. I always call it's a compromise. The best translators try to capture the essence of the poem, the actual meaning, because it is extremely difficult to have equivalents of idiomatic expressions, for example.
Mm-hmm. And you're with a group that I think annually they come together and...
The American Literary Translators Association, the ALTA.
ALTA, yes.
I did host a conference here in 2011. Mm-hmm. It is in a different city each year. This year it will be in the Bay Area in Oakland.
And so will you be a part of that again?
Yes, I usually don't miss it.
Yeah. 20 years, Thorny Locust.
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah.
This is the 21st year now.
Yeah. And again, you also teach, you continue to write and publish. You're a very busy woman.
Yes, I do. I lecture part-time at Rockhurst University.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that I've not seen any of your artwork. Tell us. I'm curious.
I do small acrylic paintings. Uh-huh. I have certain sort of cartoon characters, more or less, or doodles. It's not my main focus, but I did graduate from an art-oriented high school in Graz, Austria.
Uh-huh. Now, is some of your work, is it inspired by your writing? Does one feed off the other?
Sometimes, but I think it's a complete different outlet. Mm-hmm. In a way.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I tend to doodle quite a bit, even on pages. It's much easier, you know. Writing is far more difficult.
Yeah. I'm talking to Sylvia Kofler, who is a part of the Riverfront Reading series, and she's talking about the She's talking about her artwork, but she's also talking about the St. Valentine's Massacre Poetry Open Mic that takes place this Friday, February 12th, from 8 to 10 at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania here in Kansas City. They're really just in the neighborhood from us. Riverfrontreadings.com is the website. And, you know, with the open mic, you want to make sure that you call ahead and have a space. And they would call the Writer's Place? Or
They could call the Writer's Place, but also I think the easiest to sign up, if you get there a little early, you can just sign up at the time. But if you wanted to sign up earlier, because it's not via Riverfront, they should send an email to rross@riverfrontreadings.com.
Now, with the St. Valentine's Massacre Poetry Open Mic, are we going to hear, as in the past, just from the experience in the past, are we going to hear lots and lots of love stories, just the beautiful love, the good love, the kind love, or what?
More the not-so-kind love. It depends. It depends. But,
yeah.
But it quite frequently is, you know, relationships that did not work, or, you know, sort of far more realistic.
Kind of love stinks.
Sometimes. Exactly.
Now, are you going to be reading on Friday?
Yes, I believe so, if there's enough time, depending on how many individuals sign up.
Well, you've got to read one for your husband, or for Dave.
I guess so.
Do you have one?
I guess so. I can read a poem.
Absolutely, for Dave.
Mm-hmm. I can read it may not be as much about love. But
yeah, Valentine's, you know, most people think it's all love and sugary and sweet and, you know, but there's always that flip side. It's not always so pretty.
Exactly. This is called Mozart's Chocolate. Glancing at its faded pattern, she attempts to break the dusty kite's frame before she tosses it onto the discard pile. Today she needs to cast out all the attic's clutter. The kite given to her by a long-gone stepfather. He only lasted about a year before her mother tossed him out like a blotched sheet of paper. The old records her ex had bought. The Marriage of Figaro, useless without vinyl player. The stacks of books, including Gone with the Wind, she would never reread. Images of characters from stories wrapped through the dust, out-of-focus ghosts, trinkets of her past, just like the forgotten Mozart kugel in her pocket. Slowly, she peels back the distorted foil visage, bites into the melting chocolate's sweet center, and almost hears the Nachtmusik.
Wow, beautiful. You know, last year, I shouldn't say last year, but it's a very popular open mic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Individuals, everyone has some love experiences, whether they're positive or negative, and it's always for a good cause at this point, for the scholarship.
Sure. Yeah, the scholarship is really important.
Yes, the scholarship proceeds the Philip Miller Memorial Scholarship Fund, which each year awards a scholarship to an English or creative writing student in the Humanities Department of Kansas City, Kansas Community College, where Phil Miller taught for many years.
Beautiful. Now, again, there's going to be a silent auction of original artwork, and then a book basket. I almost said a food basket. Book basket from local writers. Who are some of the books from?
Who are some of the books from? Quite a number of local poets.
We have some.
And I have a basket that includes Stony Locust, and I will include also one of my collections, one of my books.
Terrific. So. Yeah. So this Friday, I want to thank you so much, Sylvia, for coming in. It's always a joy to have you. You just brighten up the whole radio station with your smile and your presence. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome back anytime. Thank you. I want to thank you all for tuning in this afternoon to ArtSpeak Radio, making us a priority in your day. Thanks to Z Hall, Gary Abbott, Dr. Paul Rudy, Rob Love, Jonas Hayes, Max Mendoza, Dean Renfro, and the lovely Sylvia Kofler. Next week, February 17th, this month is going by really fast, we'll have staff from the Poetry for Personal Power, poet Nick Gavecchi and Nina Irwin, who will join us. And again, thank you for your support and supporting ArtSpeak Radio and this station to keep our mission going, giving you a voice here in the community. Stay tuned for 1 o'clock for Jeff Harshberger. He's going to give you jazz in the afternoon. 3 o'clock, Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, tune in to All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. And then 9 o'clock, tune in for Classical Challenge. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thank you so much for listening. Honey, I'm coming home.